We want to keep that melody in our minds because throughout the sermon, we're going to be singing different verses of that, and just so that you'll be able to keep certain things in mind. I love that song because it teaches us a lot about who Jesus is and the things that for which he provides us, like he is our provider, he is our rock, he is our fortress indeed, as we trust in him. Well, it's good to be among you once more. I know for us, our church is not active in the sense that they're still renovating our church building. I know for those of you who hadn't heard, one of the sprinkler heads broke in the sanctuary and flooded the whole sanctuary. So everything within the sanctuary is spoiled. All the pews have to go out, all the carpeting and whatever else. And so they're in the process of renovating, and instead of pews, they're putting chairs in there to make it a little more convenient to move around and so on. But that may take till October, November before they've completed that. And so we're not going to be able to meet in our sanctuary, but they are making accommodations available in our gymnasium, and that's taking a little bit of work too because they have to change things around there to make everything movable because our young people like to use our gymnasium as well. And so we have to be able to move everything out of there for the young people and then move it back in for worship times. And so it's very complicated, and we haven't been in church in our church for probably over 2 years. And so it makes it a little difficult. And so my wife and I usually watch a program on Saturday evening and usually on Sunday as well to keep not only informed, but to keep spiritually enriched. Well, this morning we want to talk about the question, what's in a name? And I base it again on the part of the Lord's Prayer that we have been talking about the last few weeks. And that is, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. I don't know what process you may have used in order to choose a name for your children. But I think, thinking back, when we were naming our child, we looked at all the favorite names that were, at that time there was no internet, so we had to look to books and such for a name that we would like to give our daughter. Nowadays, you can look on the internet and find out what the favorite names are of everyone across the face of the earth. It might be a Margaret or a Martha or a Mary. Those are very popular names. And so to make it easy, you name your daughter one of those names. And yet, on the other hand, there you may have wanted to please your grandparents. And so you decided to give one of your children the name of one grandparent or great-grandparent to make them happy and to help you to remember what you called your children to begin with. There are all kinds of different methods we can choose in order to find a name for our children. But it seems as though we try to find a name that is usually quite familiar. However, nowadays, parents seem to come up with the weirdest names. You can hardly pronounce them or remember them as parents or grandparents, at least. I know I've got a host of nieces and nephews. I can't remember their names. They're just too complicated. So I just think of them in my mind as to who they are, whether they have a name or not. Well, there seems to be no particular meaning to the name that we give our children. We just give them a name so that when we call them, they come. That is not always the case. Maybe when you chose the name for your children, that it had some meaning and some significance to it. But in the culture of Jesus' day, and even before, names had a significant characteristic meaning. For instance, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, was given the name of Sarah, which means princess. Now, she was to become the mother of many nations, just along with Abraham also, because God said to Abraham, there are going to be many, many children, much like the stars in the skies. And so he became the father of many nations. Sarah became the princess of many nations. The interesting thing to me is how Isaac came by his name. You'll remember that when the visitors came to talk to Abraham and, among other things, mentioned to him that he was going to have a child when he was almost 100 years old, he laughed. Well, Sarah happened to be in the hearing of that communication, and when she heard that she was going to be a mother at age 90, she laughed hilariously. You got to be kidding. Isaac's name means he laughs. So whenever Sarah looked at Isaac, she would remember that, oh yeah, I laughed when I heard that this was going to happen. And to her, it was an impossibility. But with God, nothing is impossible, as we well know. Probably the most familiar name, and we've been singing about it this morning already, is the name Jesus. Now, Jesus was a very common name in his day, so there were a lot of children who were called Jesus. If you go to Mexico, there are a lot of people who are called Jesus. And so it was nothing unusual to call a child Jesus, except the Jesus that we talk about is also called the Christ, Jesus Christ. But he is also given other names. Jesus Christ, as we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, he will be called Son of the Most High. Christ means Messiah. In other words, Jesus shall lead his people into salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. He will save his people from their sins. And a name that I love to dwell on, and we sing about it often as well, is the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I don't know that Jesus was ever called Emmanuel, at least not that I know of in Scripture. I may be wrong. But it is such a beautiful name. We often say, well, God be with us. Well, folks, he is always with us. We don't have to ask him to be with us. He is always with us. And I praise him for that fact. Well, we go one step further. What does it mean to hallow the name of Jesus or hallow the name of God? It may mean, may your name be made holy. Well, his name is already holy, so how can we make it holy? Well, I believe that if we read through the scripture, we'll find that we are to value his name as holy. We may speak of God in all kinds of different textures, in all kinds of different circumstances, but the fact of the matter is that his name is holy, but do we value that name as holy? I certainly believe that we were doing that in our singing this morning and in the prayer and in the reading of the scripture. To hold his name as being holy, there's a sense of praise, of honor, of exaltation, of glorification. I like the way the Message puts it. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Reveal who you are. Now, we should remember that the Father and Son were one in essence. I and the Father are one, Jesus said. Jesus prayed, however, to honor and glorify the Father. I turn your attention to John chapter 17. I'd just like to read several verses. The very first verse says, Father, Jesus is praying with his disciples, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. And then in verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And then, towards the end of the chapter, Righteous Father, Jesus prayed, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Jesus lives and dies to see the Father's name be hallowed on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't think we can exclude that phrase, hallowed be your name, from the central part of that prayer, as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, God the Father is glorified. If you look to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, and here again, I'm just going to read a few of the verses. But the creatures are surrounding the throne of God. And this is what they say. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Then later on in that chapter, the 24 elders and the beasts, or the creatures, are surrounding the throne. And this is what they say. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will they were created and have their being. And then as the hosts get larger and larger in the fifth chapter, it says, and I'm not going to read all of the things that they said, but this is among them. Then I heard every creature, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And you can almost hear these sounds resounding in heaven. And that is how we are to honor and to glorify his name. Well, what's in a name? How do we honor or hallow his name? First of all, in order to do that, we have to know what his names are. We have talked already last week about our Father. That is a name of God. God is not his name. That is a generic term that brings everything else together. But the name Father is indeed endearing to us. We talked about that last week, so we'd like to talk about some of the other names of God that we read in Scripture. And we begin with the very first mention of the name of God in the Bible. In the beginning, God created. Now, the word that is used for God in the Hebrew is Elohim. And interestingly, that name is in the plural form. Do you wonder where we get the terminology, the Trinity of God? God's Trinity is mentioned in the very first chapter, very first verse of the Bible. What does it mean? It means that he was the creative God. He was the almighty and all-powerful God. And so as we envision that first verse in the Bible, we see him not just as God, but we see him as the creator God, the almighty God, the vastness of God. What a beautiful picture. But then we go a little further on in Scripture, and we're going to sing about this in just a moment. But I'd like to give you the background of this in Genesis chapter 22. We talked already about Abraham and Sarah, and that they were promised a child. Well, that child eventually came along, and as we know, his name was Isaac. And we feel very comfortable about that whole story, but it goes on to something rather more serious, because God approached Abraham and said, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son on an altar. And I want you to take him up to Mount Moriah, and there I want you to offer him as a sacrifice." And so Abraham did what God wanted him to do. He got all prepared. They went up the mountain, and he and Isaac went up to this altar. They built an altar. And then Abraham did something a little strange, and he was about to tie up his son, and before that, his son asked him, "But God, where is the sacrifice?" And we well know that Isaac became the sacrifice, but in that particular chapter in Genesis 22, we read this particular verse. "Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.'" And the name that we have, now in the English you don't get that, but in the Hebrew it says, "The place shall be called Jehovah Yireh." And so I want us to sing this song and use the name of God as we sing. Praise Jehovah Yireh, praise Jehovah Yireh. He's my source, he's my sufficiency, he's my provider, in him will I trust. Praise Jehovah Yireh. You're becoming Hebrew scholars now. So it's good to remember that he is our provider. We've heard about that already this morning, but if we are ever in need, he is our provider. He is Jehovah Yireh. In Exodus chapter 15, we read another interesting story that reminds us of who God is, another name for God. The people of Israel had just come through the Red Sea, and they were on the other side, and they were traveling through the desert, and they were getting a little thirsty. As a matter of fact, they were getting very thirsty. And so they came upon a body of water, and they began to drink, and yet they had to spit the water out because it was bitter. Well, you know the Jews and their habit of doing things. They complained to Moses. "Ugh, we can't drink this water. What have you led us to? What have you done to us?" And of course, Moses turned to God and said, "God, what is this all about?" Well, God said, "Here's a piece of wood. Throw it into the water and it will be cured." And it was. But this is the interesting statement that came after that. "There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And the name that is given to God there is Jehovah Rophe. So we're going to sing that verse right now. Praise Jehovah Rophe, praise Jehovah Rophe. He's my health, he's my healing, he's my physician, and him will I trust. Praise the Jehovah Rophe. Now, sometimes you wonder about that because, you know, I've been sick before and I prayed, "Lord, oh, would you heal me? I don't want to go through all this." But, you know, I had kidney stones about 40 years ago, and I went through some terrible, terrible pain. I did that several times, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I wouldn't, as I look back on that, I wouldn't have given up that up for anything, because I realize as a result of that how much people suffer when they go through pain. It made me experience pain so that I could maybe comfort someone else who went through pain. Mothers going through pregnancy and bringing a child into the world have an idea as to how much pain is in, or may be involved in all of that. But that can sometimes help in order to give help to other mothers who are in the process of doing that. Probably one of the most familiar names of God, though when we read in the English version, you don't quite get it, but it's the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That means he is the one who leads me through or to quiet waters and still waters. He comforts my soul. He picks me up when I don't want to move through the troublous waters. He picks me up and carries me over. He brings healing and he takes care of me when I'm hurting. The Lord is my shepherd. But here again in Hebrew, it says the Lord is Jehovah Rophe, Rohe, rather. And we're going to sing that one right now. Praise Jehovah Rohi, praise Jehovah Rohi. He's my guide, he's my shepherd, he's my protector, in him will I trust. Praise Jehovah Rohi. But there are many other names of God, and there's a piece of paper out on the in the lobby. I would encourage you to pick it up, and there are Bible references to each of them. And on your own, you can sing some of these other verses. But I'd like to close with one other, and that is found in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35. It's talking about paradise, about the New Jerusalem coming into this world. And the very last statement in the book of Ezekiel is this: "And the name of the city from that time on will be, the Lord is there." The Lord is Jehovah Shammah, which means he is present. Remember that some time ago when God talked to Moses, and Moses asked him the question, "Well, who am I to tell Pharaoh sent me?" And God said, Tell him that I am sent you. I am present, I am here, or I am there in the New Jerusalem. But God is always here and always there. So we're going to sing that last one, Jehovah Shammah. Praise Jehovah Shammah. Praise Jehovah Shammah. He's my friend. He's my faithfulness. He's omnipresent. On him will I trust. Praise Jehovah Shammah. Well, there's one other passage of scripture, and then I will close, and that's in Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, we wonder, okay, how do I practice hallowing the name of God? Well, we've already been doing it in one sense. We have been singing about hallowing his name, using his name and singing it actually back to him. Thank you, Lord, that you are my shepherd. Thank you that you are my provider. But I believe it's also by living a holy life. Listen to what God says through Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and 22 following, therefore, say to the house of Israel, God is speaking to Ezekiel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. Before Israel can be established as a holy people, they must first of all change, have their lives changed. And we read in the New Testament, I believe it was Peter who said that we become a holy nation before God when we allow Jesus Christ into our life to take our sins away as our Redeemer. And then we become a holy people, a separated people, a people who live according to the standards that God has established. So therefore, we can say, Our Father in heaven, help us to hallow your name every day of our lives. Amen.